Everybody's talking at me.
CRN Digital Talk Radio, Chuck Wilder here. I've got Jeremy at the network, and we are live across America and around the world at CRNTalk.com. Here's today's lineup in just a little bit. Judd Garrett, former NFL player, coach, executive, author of No Wind, going to be talking about the home run season. And some interesting stuff in that. In the second hour, it is the one and only the Duke, Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American with all his latest. Well, in the news, are you ready for this one? The United States Air Force's email says that Brooke Owens Fellowship is a 9-week paid internship with a leading aerospace company and that an underground graduate is a woman or gender minority is welcome to apply. The Air Force Academy diversity training is now telling cadets to use words that include all genders, but drop mom and dad. Another 9-week paid internship mentioned in the email, Patty Gray Smith Fellowship, is only available for black candidates pursuing aerospace careers. Fox News Digital obtained the email from a concerned cadet who requested anonymity to avoid retaliatory measures or professional repercussions. The cadet alleged that the USAFA is hyper-focused on diversity and inclusion, D&I, you know, instead of the military threats that this country faces. Quote, it's a little worrying that we have more briefs about D&I than briefs about foreign adversaries, emerging technologies, or current events around the world, the cadet said. Well, just over a week ago, MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell's Minnesota duck hunting getaway was abruptly interrupted. You know, when a team of FBI agents rolled up to a Hardee's parking lot, surrounded him in the drive-thru line as if he was an ordinary fugitive, seized his mobile phone. The incident sparked intense backlash online, with many remarking that the FBI is once again being used as a political weapon. As a result of the cell phone seizure debacle, soon after, Lindell announced a lawsuit against President Joe Biden's Department of Justice and the FBI, challenging the seizure and insisting that his First, Fourth, Fifth, and Sixth Amendments were violated. Lindell, in his lawsuit, claimed that he was denied the chance to contact his attorney, said he feared for his and his friends' lives as the federal agents trapped them in the drive-thru. Lindell listed USA Attorney General Merrick Garland and FBI Director Christopher Wray as defendants in the lawsuit. According to The Hill, as a result of Lindell's lawsuit filing in the U.S. District Court in Minnesota, it was revealed in the warrant used to seize his phone that Lindell is currently under federal investigation for identity theft, international damage to a protected computer, and conspiracy to commit identity theft or intentionally damage a protected computer. Now I stop and say, how many guards does the average person have walking around their computer to protect it, right? Damaged a protected computer. The Department of Justice's interest in pursuing the case stems from an investigation launched last year by the FBI into a suspected cyber breach of voting equipment in Mesa County, Colorado. The equipment was furnished by, you guessed it, Dominion Voting Systems, one of the voting machine companies. Lindell and other Trump supporters are accused of taking part in an election rigging conspiracy. Dominion is one of the two voting system companies currently suing Lindell over defamation claims. News of a possible breach of the country's voting equipment led to Colorado Secretary of State Jean Griswold authorizing the decertification of 41 voting machines. And Griswold would go on to accuse Mesa County Clerk and Recorder Tina Peters, who happens to be a Trump-supporting Republican, of taking part in the breach. All right, another news, Democrat Palm Beach County Commissioner David Kerner has reached his limit with his own party and publicly endorsed Florida's Republican Governor Ron DeSantis for re-election. In a statement, Koerner said he was an easy, well, it was an easy decision from him to go against the Democratic gubernatorial challenger, Charlie Crist. Quote, "Every day until November 8th, I will campaign for Governor DeSantis, and November 8th, I will vote for Governor DeSantis. And today, I proudly endorse Governor Ron DeSantis for re-election as the governor of the great state of Florida. As a side, Governor, I'm very proud that you felt that my endorsement was worthy of acceptance." It's a pretty big statement to say that Joe Biden is still his own worst enemy. By accident, Biden compromised the legal basis for his pledge now on the, you know, thing to cancel student debt. Scott Pelley, host of 60 Minutes, interviewed Biden last week. Since he was able to visit the Detroit Auto Show last week, Biden was questioned if he indeed, the panic is over. This event hadn't taken place since 2019, making this one the first time it's ever taken place since then. According to Biden, here is what he said, "The pandemic is over." That's what he said without exception. "The pandemic is over. We still have a problem with COVID. We're still doing a lot of work on it," Biden said. "But the pandemic is over. If you notice, no one's wearing masks. Everybody seems to be in pretty good shape," he continued. "And so I think it's changing, and I think it's a perfect example of it. There are some consequences to this statement, assuming what he said is true, because, you know, Biden stated last month that he would waive $10,000 in student loan debt for each borrower making less than $125,000 annually. The legal bias for Biden's plan was made public by the Biden regime the same day it was announced. A memo from the Education Department asserted that the HEROES Act of 2003, a post-9/11 law, exists, and this permits the cancellation of many debts. The memo said, quote, "The HEROES Act, first enacted in the wake of the September 11 attacks, provides the Secretary Board authority to grant relief from student loan requirements during specific periods, a war, other military operations, a national emergency, that would be such as the present COVID-19 pandemic, and for specific purposes, including to address the financial harms of such a war, other military operation, or an emergency." Well, since the Act's adoption, the Secretary of Education has made use of this power to grant borrowers relief in the event of a war, other military action, or a national emergency, including the ongoing mandatorium on student loan payments and interest. Well, the consequences of Biden's admission were explained by Charles Cook in National Review. Quote, "But even if one were to ignore all of these questions of legality, one could still not get past the fact that the powers to which Biden laid claim can be applied only when there is an active emergency, and that the active emergency Biden is citing has now passed." So, Mr. President Biden may have messed up that entirely, but we'll just have to see how it all plays out. He could bring back COVID, you know, just to prove people wrong or whatever. Well, bad news for the Democrats. The border crisis is the new row in Google searches. That's right. My, how quickly the plot changes with just a single flight to Martha's Vineyard. To be fair, the media's interest in the border crisis began spiking upward before then, but not much before Ron DeSantis sent 50 illegal immigrants to the wealthy Massachusetts enclave when buses began arriving in sanctuary cities like New York City, Washington, D.C. Thanks to the effort of DeSantis, Greg Abbott, Doug Ducey, the media went into full freak-out mode. They exonerated these Republican governors endlessly and still do. And you can guess what that did for the public interest in the border crisis. Axios reports that it has now eclipsed the interest in abortion. All right. Bombshell allegations by FBI Special Agent Steve Friend contained in a whistleblower complaint filed with the Department of Justice Inspector General revealed a politicized Washington, D.C. FBI field office cooking the books to exaggerate the threat of domestic terrorism and using an overzealous January 6th investigation to harass conservative Americans and violate their constitutional rights. Friend 37, a respected 12-year veteran of the FBI and a SWAT team member, was suspended, stripped of his gun and badge, and escorted out of the FBI field office in Daytona Beach, Florida, after complaining to his supervisor about the violations. He was declared absent without leave last month for refusing to participate in SWAT raids that he believed violated FBI policy and were used as an excessive force against the January 6th subjects accused of misdemeanor offenses. The American hero, by the way, the father of two small children, has blown up his dream career because he could not live with his conscience if he continued to be part of what he sees as the unjust persecution of conservative Americans. Quote, "I have an oath to uphold the Constitution," he told supervisors when he asserted his conscientious objection to joining an August 24th raid on a J6 subject in Jacksonville, Florida area. Quote, "I have a moral objection and want to be considered a conscientious objector." Friend, who did not vote for Donald Trump in 2020 election, said that he told his immediate boss twice that he believed the raid and the investigation process leading up to it violated FBI policy and the subject's right under the Sixth Amendment to a fair trial and Eighth Amendment right against cruel and unusual punishment. Wow. Well, the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease director, Dr. Anthony Fauci, admitted that he knew the draconian COVID-19 policies he pushed for would lead to collateral negative consequences for the economy and for school children. Now, Fauci's comments came day one of the Atlantic Festival. That was a 3-day convention put on by the media outlet, The Atlantic, featuring speeches and interviews from prominent members of media, the government, and political activists. And during the event, Fauci spoke with The Atlantic editor, Ross Anderson, in front of a live audience about his experiences as leading medical professional working in the federal government during that COVID-19 pandemic. And in one segment of his talk, the doctor spoke about his guidance in instituting draconian pandemic guidance, knowing full well there would be a collateral damage stemming from it. Before making his central point, he first blamed the divisiveness of social media for turning every piece of his guidance during the pandemic into a confusing and controversial statement. When you have a divisiveness in society where every time you say something, you have X number of people with social media looking to attack it, that adds to the understandable confusion when you're dealing with evoking and involving the outbreak. He then justified his harsh COVID guidance, including pushing the federal government to mandate lockdowns, masking, and later vaccination, and he said it was because hospitals were being overrun. All right, we're going to take a break, and then the one and only Judd Garrett.
I struggled with symptoms like frequent gas and stomach pain for years.
I was bloated all the time with daily diarrhea.
At first, I thought it was what I was eating.
I kept thinking it was stomach issues.
So I did my research and talked to my doctor, and we finally uncovered the truth.
It was actually EPI. Exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI, is a condition where your pancreas is unable to help break down your food.
It can lead to symptoms like diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, unexplained weight loss, and oily stools.
And EPI symptoms can be confused with those of other common digestive conditions like irritable bowel syndrome, Crohn's, and celiac disease.
So getting to the right diagnosis meant being more open with my doctor about the severity of my symptoms and how often they were happening.
But there's good news. EPI is manageable, so don't wait any longer. Use the symptom checker at identifyepi.com and schedule a visit or call with your doctor to ask,
Could I have EPI?
Sponsored by AbbVie.
Let's talk about your credit cards. When you first start using them, it's a slow drip. You make charges, then more charges, then bills come, and they keep coming. When you open your statements, the floodgates come pouring in. You realize you have more credit card debt than you can afford, and you're barely making the minimum payments. Wouldn't it be nice to make one affordable payment and have all your credit card bills covered? Make this free call and learn our responsible way to get your credit card bills paid and under control.
Sponsored by Consumer Education Services, a nonprofit organization.
800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. That's 800-876-3643.
CESI is not a loan company. The establishment of a debt management plan may adversely affect your credit rating. Non-payment of debt may lead creditors to increase finance and other charges to undertake collection activity, including liquidation.
When you really want Italian food, you have got to get to Colombo's. Colombo's Italian Steakhouse and Jazz Club. Colorado Boulevard, Eagle Rock. It's that little neighborhood place you wish was down the street from you. Today, it seems so hard to enjoy just a little bit of easy. So much of life seems to get in the way. But fear not, seekers of fabulous food and fun and thrill, Colombo's is Southern California's answer to Easy Street. Great grub with some of the finest steaks, the freshest fish awaiting for you to devour. Did I mention Colombo's family Italian recipes? Colombo's spaghetti bolognese, their chicken pesto ravioli, magnifico, and of course, the world's greatest meatballs. I can go on. But why go on when you can go on over to Colombo's and experience delicious and easy for yourself. Colombo's, of course, that little neighborhood place you wish was down the street from you. Colombo's, mangia bene.
Everybody's talking at me.
CRN, Chuck Wilder here. Hey, let me tell you about my guest, the one and only Mr. Judd Garrett. He's a former NFL player, coach, and executive, frequent contributor to the website Real Clear Politics, and he recently published his first novel, No Wind. And by the way, here's the blog. It's objectivityistheobjective.com. Judd, welcome back. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Pretty good. You know, a lot of times we talk about football because that's one of your primary things there, and you were involved in it for so long. But there's some interesting stuff going on in baseball right now, and it involves who's got the most home runs, and was there something that happened in the past that affects the count on how many home runs there is? A pretty interesting article. It's entitled Long Gone. Bring the listeners up to date, will you?
Yeah, well, Aaron Judge hit his 60th home run of the season the other night, and you know, for much of my life, the number 60 home runs in one Major League Baseball season was the pinnacle. That was the mark that everybody was shooting for. Babe Ruth did it, Roger Maris did it, and there was a stretch of time about 20 years ago where three guys did it a whole bunch of times. And that was Barry Bonds, Mark McGwire, and Sammy Sosa. And, you know, that whole era has been marred by the whole performance-enhancing drugs. So, you know, you had these guys 20 years ago who decided to cheat, decided to use these illegal drugs that they shouldn't be using to enhance their performance, and they've completely skewed the record books, and Barry Bonds' name is still on top of the record books with 73 home runs. Mark McGwire has 70. Sammy Sosa has 66. But all those numbers are tainted. All those numbers are not authentic.
And let me ask you a real quick quick question here, Judd, okay? And this is for the benefit of those that don't know. Are all Major League Baseball parks all measured the same, sort of like basketball, professional basketball? I think there's no court that's a little bit longer than the others. They're all follow a certain pattern, right?
No, I mean, all the infields and the pitcher's mound and all that, you know, the length between the bases are all uniform.
Right.
But the home run fences are different from park to park. So there's some parks which are hard to hit home runs in. There's some parks that are easy to hit home runs in, like Yankee Stadium down the right field line, where actually Ruth and Maris hit a lot of their home runs.
Right.
You know, they have that short porch, so it's easy to hit balls out of there. Aaron Judge is a right-hander, so he's got a lot longer way to go for his home runs in Yankee Stadium. So, you know, they're all different. You know, Boston, you know, in Fenway, they have the Green Monster. It's a shorter fence in left field, shorter distance in left field, but that wall's about, you know, 25, 30 feet in the air, so it's hard to get it over that. So they're all different. I think they bring some – it's unique from stadium to stadium. But, so there is a – it's not all the same for every hitter.
So those that have a waterfall – I'm not going to mention the one, yes – waterfall out there, maybe the moisture coming up will slow that ball down. I have no idea. You know, the ball's probably moving about 105 miles an hour, so who knows. But yeah, it's kind of hard to keep those statistics straight, and just the fact that, you know, of all of this stuff with using drugs and everything else, and a few changes here and there, it is bad for those people that, you know, that really deserve to get the credit, the true credit, you know, for hitting a home run, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's no question about it. I mean, and that's the sad thing. You know, that's one of the reasons why I wrote the article, was because, you know, Aaron Judge is putting together one of the great offensive seasons in the history of Major League Baseball, which dates back to 1876. I mean, you know, very few people have ever hit the ball the way he's hitting the ball, and it's going unnoticed because, you know, those three guys, you know, 20 plus years ago decided to cheat and decided to, you know, selfishly, you know, harm the game of baseball, and he's not getting his just due because of other people cheating. And, you know,
cheating, they should have learned that in the first grade. Anyway,
exactly.
I threw that in there because it's time for a break. We're going to be back with the one and only Judd Garrett, NFL player. Boy, he's got a resume you wouldn't believe. That's Mr. Garrett, and expert on a lot of sports. And, as I said, author of No Wind, WIND, available at Amazon. Objectivity is theobjective.com is his website. Be right back.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
Pinocchio was a literary sensation in the 19th century and a brilliant animated classic for the Disney studios in 1940. Now there's a new Disney version with live action and some spectacularly well-animated characters. It's called, logically enough, Pinocchio, and it's now streaming on Disney Plus.
I want to be real.
You will always be my real boy.
Pinocchio is running around loose without a conscience. Can you imagine the trouble he's going to get into?
That's Joseph Gordon-Levitt, who provides the voice of Jiminy Cricket, while Tom Hanks plays a moving and deeply devoted Geppetto. This version adds a few twists and some deeply disturbing depth to the 1940 classic, and it's obvious that for director-writer Robert Zemeckis of Forrest Gump and Back to the Future fame, it's a labor of love. It's rated PG, but much too scary for small children. 2.5 stars for the combination live action and animated Pinocchio.
Do you want to fly somewhere? Anywhere in the world? Smart travelers call myflightsearch.com for the best deals on flight tickets. going to Manila, Bangkok, London. How about Singapore? Call MyFlightSearch.com for the lowest flight tickets available. What about a local vacation? Let's say you want to fly to Vegas, Orlando, Miami, Los Angeles, or Denver. Pick up the phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now. We have exclusive deals that you can't find anywhere else. The only way you can get these low airline prices is by calling us. We have so many low prices available, we can't possibly tell them to you right here and now. If you're flying somewhere anytime in the next 6 months and you want the lowest airline ticket prices anywhere, you owe it to yourself to save a ton of money. So pick up your cell phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now.
Call 800-445-3166. 800-445-3166. That's 800-445-3166. Call now. 800-445-3166.
Attention real estate investors. Do you need cash immediately? If you own one or multiple rental properties, you can use your equity to get cash out fast. The best part is we don't need tax returns or even a good credit score. At America's Loan Source, we are not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We make the decisions to loan you money and there's no limit how much we can give you. Some clients have gotten as much as $500,000 or more within days. Use the money any way you want. If you own one rental property or 100, and COVID has left you in a cash crunch, we can help you turn your equity into fast cash. Call now for details and close in as little as 10 days and get the cash you need. 800-353-1760. 800-353-1760. 800-353-1760. That's 800-353-1760.
Trying to sell your old car? Instead, donate your vehicle to Heritage for the Blind. Pickup is free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats, whether they run or not. Call right now and receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to over 50 locations. Call 1-800-785-9618. Donate your car today. That's 1-800-785-9618.
It's Woods and Water this week on The Revolution with Jim and Trav as the boys and their outdoor experts discuss wildlife management, pursuing the American dream of land ownership, chasing September bass, panfish, and catfish, plus much more. You'll hear from Dan Perez of Whitetail Properties, Thomas Allen with InFisherman, and Cat Daddy. The Revolution is presented by Outdoor Channel, Sportsman Channel, World Fishing Network, and My Outdoor TV. Saturday mornings at 7 o'clock Pacific Time on CRN Digital Talk, CRN 2.
Everybody's talking at me.
CRN, Chuck Wilder, pardon me, with Judd Garrett, former NFL player, coach, executive, and we are talking about one of his latest, Long Gone. You know, like, there it is, it's a home run. You know, and other sports have things like that. You know, who was it? Lance Armstrong, yes, right? Tour de France. Was he was disqualified for drugs, was that what it is, or something like that?
Yeah, he was blood doping, which I guess gives the cyclist, you know, extra endurance, you know, on those long rides. And I mean, he was doing it for years. He won 7 Tour de France's, and when everyone found out that what he was doing, you know, they stripped him of every single one of his victories. And he faced, you know, tens of millions of dollars of lawsuits by a lot of his sponsors, because they said he defrauded them. And you know, it's interesting, you know, they do that to Lance Armstrong, they strip him of all of his victories, but, you know, Major League Baseball has not purged the record books, you know, Bonds and McGuire and Sosa, who, you know, we all know, you know, were using steroids when they were hitting all those home runs.
So what about all of your great runs there, Mr. Garrett, with the Dallas Cowboys? Any no-dos, anything like that? See, the reason I bring up no-dos is I won a Billboard Magazine award one time, you know, for disc jockey, and I know I was taking no-dos. You think they could take that away from me?
I don't know if no-dos is considered a PED, but
yeah, there we'll you see. Go, yeah.
I mean, I never I didn't play well enough for anybody to accuse me of ever using.
That's not what I hear. Hold on. What are you talking about? You didn't play good enough. I mean, my goodness. I do research on some of the people I have on here, and you were okay. You know, hey, I don't know if you were prone to injuries like the Dallas Cowboys are right now, but anyway, even if you're in radio, you're prone to injuries if you hook up with the wrong people. So anyway, hey, so I'm not up on it. I was listening. I guess it was last night. Okay, I think one of these people hit another home run. What is the status right now of who's going to really get the big award for the most home runs?
Well, Aaron Judge should win the home run title this year. He's ahead by about 20 to the next guy. You know, Albert Pujols, he's chasing 700 home runs. I think he's two away from reaching 700, and only three other people in Major League Baseball history has done that. So,
yeah.
Aaron Judge should win the title. And again, you know, in my book, the way I look at it is, if he hits two more and surpasses Roger Maris, you know, he's legitimately the single season home run king, because in my mind, I don't really count, you know, Bonds, McGuire, and Sosa. So the mark that he's shooting for is you know, over 61, so 62 home runs, and he's two home runs away from that.
Okay, and Aaron Judge, for the listeners' approval here, what team is he on right now?
He's with the Yankees.
Okay, and let me just throw in here that, and you mentioned that the Yankees have one of the shortest, if not the shortest, fields to hit a home run.
They have one of the shortest right field fences, and that was Babe Ruth and Roger Maris were left-handers, so they were hitting balls over the right field fence. Aaron Judge is a right-hander, so most of his balls go over the left field or center field fence. So he hasn't been able to take advantage of that short fence
the way
Ruth and Roger Maris were able to.
And I wonder, and I'm sure that a lot of listeners wonder too, why isn't it that the home run fence and the fence, you know, the outfield fence, is standard, you know, a standard size for all baseball fields in the major league?
Yeah, I agree with you. I've never understood it. I think historically, when they first started playing, you know, they were just trying to find places to play, and you know, like the old New York Giants played in the Polo Grounds, so you know, they just stuck a baseball field in the middle of what used to be, you know, a polo stadium, so.
Yeah.
A lot of these stadiums had to be configured based on, or a lot of these parks had to be configured based on the stadium they're playing in. But now with the building of all these new stadiums, they should make the fences uniform, you know, for every team.
You know, and I also think about San Francisco, you know, because whenever I was in the Navy and I was living on the Navy base for a while, you know, you'd look out there and you'd see the San Francisco huge field out there, you know, pretty close to the ocean, and you think, well, you know, the ocean breeze comes in sometime, and the fog and everything else. It's amazing how weather, you know, can affect a baseball game. Of course, they are the ones, they're not like football, you know, when it rains, they do say, all right, let's stop, you know, we can't get our gloves wet, you know, whatever.
Well, I mean, you make a good point, because Willie Mays played a lot of his career, you know, in San Francisco. in the old Candlestick Park, and there was a stiff breeze that came off the bay, and it knocked down a lot of his home runs. He might have hit over 700. He ended up with 660. He might have hit over 700 if he played in a different park. So, those are all the different factors that come into play with these home run hitters.
You know, and really, it dawns on me, you know, that just because you're on today, it's showing you how the importance of home runs may not be as, I don't know if what the word would be, but maybe not a greater accomplished that maybe you have been thinking it is, you know. You know what I'm saying? It's like, boy, this guy always hits home runs, but maybe it's because of the baseball field, his home field advantage. And I've never thought of it until I read your article. And it's just, I don't know, maybe we're putting too much importance and, you know, on the home run. I don't think we are, but no matter what, I guess it's still hard to get one.
Yeah,
good,
I mean,
weather, bad weather, high fence, low fence.
I think the way people judge it is, you know, they compare the home park versus how the player does on the road. And there's been a number of players in the major leagues who, you know, played for the Colorado Rockies, you know, all the, mm-hmm. you know,
the atmosphere, the, what do you call it, the
light air, and they were able to hit home runs and pad their batting average, you know, and then they go play on the road and, you know, they're only hitting half as many home runs on the road and their batting average is 30 points lower. So, you know, that's the way to judge, you know, players. You compare is at home statistics versus on the road statistics. And it'd be interesting to see what Aaron judges. I haven't looked at it that way, but, you know, they keep statistics on everything. So you should be able to make that comparison between them. But as far as the home run's concerned, I mean, you know, the game, you know, has become, you know, early on, you know, 100 years ago, it was basically a single stolen base bunting game. And then Babe Ruth came around and he started hitting all the home runs. And over the years, the home run has become more and more important. And to the point where, you know, they're teaching the players, the batters, to swing with an uppercut. You know, I was always taught, don't swing for the fences. You know, just have a nice level swing, but they're teaching these young hitters to swing with an uppercut and try to hit the ball out of the park.
Yeah, and you mentioned, you know, these people, Bonds, McGuire, Sosa, Major League Baseball, you say, they don't want to remove the names, you know, if their numbers were illegitimate from the record books, you know, but by failing to correct the record books, they're forcing the rest of us to go along with their fraud and pretend that someone is the legitimate single-season home run king when he really isn't. It's probably going to be solved for this year, I guess, in just a couple of weeks at least, right? Or maybe sooner than that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think Aaron Judge will get over 61. He'll get somewhere probably in the mid-60s before it's all said and done. He's probably not going to reach the number that Bonds and McGuire hit, you know, 73 and 70. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I put that in there is because I think a little bit of that's what we're forced to do in life anyway, beyond sports, is that there's a lot of things that we're expected simply to believe and go along with. And if you question it, you know, you question legitimacy of it, you know, you're called a traitor or patriot or anti, you know, democracy. And, you know, and anybody who questions the fact that, you know, Joe Biden got 81 million votes, yeah, you know, were, you know, you're vilified. And, you know, and to me, you know, when I was watching the home run chase back in the late 90s and early 2000s, and they were hitting home runs at a level that I've never seen before, you know, in the back of my mind, I was saying, you know, something's wrong with this. Something's up. There's no reason why these guys are hitting 70 home runs when people couldn't even come close to 60. And now here you have Joe Biden, you know, the most anybody had before him, most votes anybody had before him was Barack Obama at 69 million. And we're supposed to believe that Joe Biden got 81 million votes. You know, to
the
me,
most
that,
ever,
that's
by the way.
A red flag that there's something going on.
Most votes ever, you know. Just, yeah, unbelievable. And then, you know, you got Bonds, Sosa, McGuire. You know, and those first two letters are BS, you know, so you got to watch out there. What's going on? You also put in here, and, you know, it's like these guys, you know, they play baseball. It's probably the number one thing in their life. But you say it begs to question, who would want to own a record if they knew in their heart that it wasn't an accurate record, you know, legitimate.
Yeah, I mean, you know, to me, I mean, I played sports my whole life, and, you know, when I look back on my career, you know, I know the things that I accomplished, and I know the things that I failed to accomplish, but, you know, I know all of that was done legitimately. I never cheated, I never did anything like right. that, and you can sort of feel good about the accomplishments you've made because they were legitimate, and even if you failed more often than you succeeded, you can at least, you know, feel good about, you know what you tried to do. And I know if I had more success than I ever dreamed of, but it was done illegitimately, you know, looking back on my career, I'd never, you know, I wouldn't feel good about it. That would haunt me the rest of my life. So, you know, so I don't understand these guys that knowingly cheat. And they have these records and they got all these accolades, but they know in their heart that, you know, it's all a lie.
You know, I remember, Judd, when I was in Mexico, a really small town, and playing baseball in Little League, you would hit a home run, but it didn't have to go over the fence where I was playing. You know, it was a very yeah. small city, right? And you know, they counted how many each person. We had all the teams, but all the teams, you know, were actually like the Cardinals, you know, and the Dodgers or whatever, even though you were in New Mexico. You just Little League, and you got to hope you got on the team you wanted to be on or whatever. But the thing was, with no fence, I think I was second or third with home runs, just lucky. But then again, at one time I was smart enough, not in math, but in baseball, to kind of determine, well, I just got that home run because the guy missed the ball. You know, it went, you know, he didn't catch the ball to prevent it from going over the line. So, in Little League, you really have some advantages. You know, sometimes if you're in a small place, you don't even have a fence. So, and that's the way we were. Of course, when we got to Pony League, it was a lot different. But it's funny, though, how you can accumulate home runs at a young age, and you don't deserve those either.
Yeah, I mean, I have a few of those on my record book too. A couple line drives that went into the alley, and the outfielders couldn't get them, and they rolled forever because there's no fence, and you just sort of run around the bases, and probably would have only been a double if it was, you know, if there was a fence, but thank God they have fences in the Major League Baseball, or else it'd be even more controversy.
One of those Little League games, you know, the guy that on the other team, the ball was going right at him, and then all of a sudden he just took off going, you know, like 15, 20 feet to the right. And I found out later he said there was a rattlesnake there, and he wasn't going to, you know, when you're in, you know, the desert area, it's, you know, all that stuff. So I'll tell you, it's totally amazing, I'll tell you. But, you know, it's sort of like these people that are, you know, getting these home run advantages and they don't deserve it, like we've mentioned. You wonder how much it really, really bothers them, you know. They also know that it's hurting the sport overall because, you know, that's a very important thing for the participants is how many home runs somebody's hitting.
Yeah, I mean, actually, I've had a number of people reach out to me after this article and say that, you know, when all the cheating came out and, you know, because it all got exposed like in 2006 and 2007, you know, they said that they stopped watching baseball when all that came out. And, you know, not only did they taint the record books, but, their cheating drove, you know, fans away from the sport, and that's a shame. It's a shame that people's selfishness, you know, to try to, you know, break these records, you know, not only tainted the record books, but it has caused fans not to watch the game anymore.
All right, we'll be back and wrap things up in a minute with Judd Garrett, author of No Win, Objectivity is the Objective.com.
No more mold. No more damage. No more outdated old bathroom. No more slipping and hurting. No more stress. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. Be stress-free. Call 800-973-5411. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. Ask about our military and senior discounts. Your dream bathroom in as little as one day. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a Neverclear glass treated door. Call now for free premium color upgrades. 800-973-5411. Call BCI Bath and Shower, the leader in bathroom remodeling. Be smart, safe, and stay a step ahead of inflation with our interest-free financing options. Call 800-973-5411. Love your bathroom with free upgrades. Call 800-973-5411. 800-973-5411.
Do you want to fly somewhere? Anywhere in the world? Smart travelers call MyFlightSearch.com for the best deals on flight tickets. Going to Manila, Bangkok, London, how about Singapore? Call MyFlightSearch.com for the lowest flight tickets available. What about a local vacation? Let's say you want to fly to Vegas, Orlando, Miami, Los Angeles, or Denver. Pick up the phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now. We have exclusive deals that you can't find anywhere else. The only way you can get these low airline prices is by calling us. We have so many low prices available, we can't possibly tell them to you right here and now. If you're flying somewhere anytime in the next 6 months and you want the lowest airline ticket prices anywhere, you owe it to yourself to save a ton of money. So pick up your cell phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now.
Call 800-445-3166. 800-445-3166. That's 800-445-3166. Call now. 800-445-3166.
Let's talk about your credit cards. When you first start using them, it's a slow drip. You make charges, then more charges, then bills come, and they keep coming. When you open your statements, the floodgates come pouring in. You realize you have more credit card debt than you can afford, and you're barely making the minimum payments. Wouldn't it be nice to make one affordable payment and have all your credit card bills covered? Make this free call and learn our responsible way to get your credit card bills paid and under control.
Sponsored by Consumer Education Services, a nonprofit organization.
800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. That's 800-876-3643.
CESI is not a loan company. The establishment of a debt management plan may adversely affect your credit rating. Non-payment of debt may lead creditors to increase finance and other charges to undertake collection activity, including liquidation.
Everybody's talking at me.
CRN Chuck Wilder with my guest, Judd Garrett, G-A-R-R-E-T-T, former NFL player. He was on the Dallas Cowboys Super Bowl, yes, when they won the Super Bowl last time, and frequent contributor to website Real Clear Politics, and his novel is entitled No Wind. You know, getting to the end of this, you say we are forced to pretend that the inauthentic is actually authentic all the time these days. Very little is real or true. It's all a facade. It's all about the narrative. And if you look at American politics, it's all about capturing the narrative. Very little is about the actual truth. And then you get into the political aspect of it. Politicians spend every story in their direction, twist them, and things like that, and goes on all the time. And that's the game that's played. But when we become fixated on the narrative, we fail to really appreciate true greatness when it's standing right in front of us. What did you say, 22,000 people have played Major League Baseball?
Yeah, 22,000 people have played Major League Baseball. There have been 147 Major League Baseball seasons. And in my book, only three have legitimately hit 60 home runs or more, and that's Babe Ruth, Roger Maris, and Aaron Judge.
And that's in one season, 60 home runs in a season, right?
Yeah. In one season. And we're not really appreciating what's going on because of what happened, you know, with Bonds and McGuire and Sosa. And, you know, we're forced, like I said, you know, earlier in that paragraph, we're forced to believe that the inauthentic is authentic. You know, it's all about the narrative, and Major League Baseball will tell you that Barry Bonds is the home run king and you know, single season home run king, when really he's not. But we're forced to believe that, and it happens in politics all the time. It's all about creating the narrative. You know, they don't really care about the facts or the evidence. You know, they spin the facts to their advantage, and we're forced to believe that at times. You know, Joe Biden can tell us that the southern border is completely secure when there's millions of illegal immigrants coming across, and that's the narrative they're spinning to us, and there's hundreds of examples of it that goes on every day. And you know, and it's a shame that this is creeping over into sports, because sports isn't supposed to be like that. Sports is supposed to be, you know, a much cleaner, much more honest endeavor than politics.
And look what they did with the men's tennis, you know, and they wouldn't let the guy come over from another country in the World Tennis Championship, you know. They could have done that with Roger Maris or Aaron Judd, you know, and say, I understand you didn't get your booster shot. Whoa, you don't get to play in the next game, you know. I mean, seriously, it's gone so crazy in this nation, you don't know when you're going to be, wiped out on the list, so to speak, you know, of what you should be doing.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I didn't watch, you know, I mean, Novak Djokovic is one of my favorite tennis players, and I didn't watch the U.S. Open because he wasn't allowed to play. Mm-hmm. And I think they lost a number of fans because of it. And it's a shame that they allowed politics to be injected into that.
I usually don't watch tennis, you know, too much racket. That kind of just popped into my little head and probably pops right out, I'm glad. Yeah. Hey, Judd, I really appreciate each and every visit. And by the way, listener, check out Sanctimonious Cities, Judd Garrett. And it's all about Martha's Vineyard. And as I say, I love the way he puts his stuff together, so you'll enjoy reading it. Just go to objectivityistheobjective.com and get all of his great stuff. Hey, thank you very much, Judd, and I look forward to our next visit, sir.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
All right. Hey, Selwyn Duke is right around the corner with his latest.
Tired of your favorite talk show sounding like this?
Everybody's talking at me. CRN Digital Talk Radio. Chuck Wilder here, Jeremy at the network, and we're live across America and around the world at crntalk.com. Let me tell you about my guest. It is the one and only Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American. Selwyn has also contributed to college textbooks published by Gale Sinage Learning. He appears on television, frequent guest on great radio programs just like this one, and his website, www.selwynduke.com. And now, here comes the Duke. Duke-a-bell, Duke, Duke, Duke-a-bell, Duke, Duke, Duke-a-bell, Duke, Duke, Duke-a-bell, Duke. All righty, yes, sir. Absolutely perfect, Jeremy. Just perfect timing right there on that one. That was one of the best ever. But don't tell any of those other people that work there at CRN how well you did that. Hey, Selwyn, how are you?
I'm not bad, Chuck. I'm just sitting here transitioning from being a normal guy to being a guest on the Chuck Wilder Show. How are you?
Yeah, so you refer yourself as a guy. Is that going to be wiped off the charts
for now?
Soon?
For now. Yeah, that's a provisional designation. You know what I mean?
But you know, yeah, you got guy and gal, right? So now I guess those others would really be confused. What are they? If you have a guy and a gal, you got to use a G for those who that would work. Gee, I don't know what I am. I guess maybe that would work. Hey, I had a story that's going to kind of tie into what you and I are going to be talking about, a news item that came across. The Air Force Academy, have you heard about this? Diversity training is now telling the cadets they want them to use words that include all genders and drop two words. And you know what those two words are they're supposed to drop, do not mention?
Yep.
Mom and dad. Yeah. Can you believe that? Who's going to fly the planes? That's, you know, kind of wonder, you know. Are you going to go get in your plane and, you know, your plane is named after a female. You're going to have to change that. Think of World War II when they had all those female, you know, they had the lovely ladies on the side of the B-29s. And, boy, we have gone backwards a long, long ways, haven't we?
Yeah, well, you read my mind, Chuck. What if a serviceman happens to have a mom tattoo on his body? Does he have to have that removed if it's on his arm or something?
No. He has to be proud that he is a cadet, and he will be required to stand on his head at all times, and it'll say, wow.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
Is that
not
right?
Only that,
W-O-W?
Chuck, they're not going far enough. they're not going far enough because what about terms you might use that allude to your species, because after all, just like we have gender dysphoria, the head shrinkers also define a problem called species dysphoria, where people claim to be a species or a dog, a member of a different species stuck in a human body. I mean, that actually exists. So we've got a lot of work to do when it comes to reorganizing the language.
Yeah. I think a long time ago, Selwyn, I might have mentioned to you, you know, you're talking about species and people identify as animals. And I was thinking, like, maybe the ninth grade would be, you know, for somebody smart enough to do this. But the teacher would say, you know, you can identify as whatever you want to be now. That's the new way of America. And have some guy or girl, okay, probably couldn't say that out loud, guy or girl, but anyway, identify themselves that I'm a cow, C-O-W. The next day, have a bale of hay delivered to the room. And see what happens. Got to eat. Can't go to the cafeteria and eat that human food, right? What would they do?
Absolutely. Well, you know, years ago we were talking about this, Chuck, and I mentioned this Norwegian woman who claimed to be a cat. I think she was going by the name Nano, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway, she said, though, that she had not yet succeeded in catching a mouse, but she identified as a cat.
I'll tell you. Well, what of your latest here? Not just pronouns now, but trans activists want to control your bathroom habits. Wow. Now, wouldn't this require, automatically, when you just look at the title of that, control your bathroom habits, wouldn't that require an in-house camera concealed or just up in the bathroom so they could check out and make sure you're not breaking the law?
Yeah. Well,
and another
we're
thing
not at that
is,
point yet, Chuck.
Would Biden in the shower with his daughter, would that be considered a bad bathroom habit?
Oh, yikes.
Well,
good question.
Mean, you know,
I know.
That's in the diary.
It is.
I'd heard
it
about
is.
That a
yeah,
long
Ashley
time
Ashley Biden's
ago,
diary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In her diary, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's unbelievable, Chuck. Now, if you read this story, you're going to think it's satire, but it's really not. And again, this is another testimonial as to how low we've sunk, where it's getting hard to differentiate now between satire and actual news stories, real life. But anyway, so here's the story. Now, as I said, it's not just enough for transgender activists to control how you speak with their pronoun prescriptions. What are we talking about? Well, they've manufactured these pronouns like Z, Zier, and Zim. Now they want to control our bathroom habits, too. And by the way, let me just say something about all these pronouns. You know, I said last week, I think, on your show, Chuck, that people don't have pronouns. Languages do. That's what you should say to these individuals. But not only that, someone put it very well on the internet. If these are your pronouns, why are you putting them in my mouth?
Yeah,
that's another
go.
Good comeback.
Yeah.
I wish I had come up with that. But that's a very, very good one. So anyway, this story here, this came to light after men attending a recent American Political Science Association conference, Chuck, were asked to do something. They were asked to refrain from using urinals, quote, out of respect for, unquote, others. Now, what's the problem here? Well, the problem is so-called trans men, quote, unquote, and what that really means is women masquerading as men. Well, they may be triggered or offended or disturbed because they can't perform the nature call in question standing up. And I'm not going to get too explicit here, but everyone knows what I'm talking about. So anyway, I cited Twitchy here, the website, because they put it well. They opened with, quote, way back in 2017, we had a glimpse into where things were headed when we saw the restroom signs at Hampshire College that read, restroom with urinals and restroom without urinals. Flash forward to 2022, and schools were installing tampon dispensers in boys' rooms to comply with the Menstrual Dignity Act, unquote. Okay, so anyway, now we have this American Political Science Association, APSA. They made this request at their conference that men are not supposed to use the urinals. They actually had a sign up to that effect. You can see that in my article. And so anyway, the bottom line is, as commentator Andrea Widberg put it, one of my friends, she said, well, these fake men are forced to acknowledge biological reality and head for the stalls. That's the issue. And she said, I know this because I read an article at IQFI, an online lifestyle magazine that caters to the left, entitled, get this, quote, encourage men to pee sitting down to be more inclusive of trans men. Okay. Well, all I can say, Chuck, and I'll go ahead, yeah.
No, I'm thinking, you know, it'll come to lipstick, you know. Do you wear lipstick or you don't wear lipstick? And it could apply for either women or men because you don't want to offend the others. I mean, holy moly, pretty soon you're going to be locked up in your home and hope you're safe. But not according to this, because they want to control your bathroom habits. Okay, and, you know, who knows? It could reach all the way to your home. But anyway, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, so encourage men to urinate sitting down so they can be more inclusive. And I just say, I have to say, this is taking phallus envy to a whole new level. I don't know what Sigmund Freud would say, but it's something else. So anyway, it gets more ridiculous.
Sigmund Freud,
still, Chuck.
Sigmund Freud, right, would say, yeah. I really have to go, but I don't know which room I should use to be, you know, accepted by the general public. You know, it could really get carried away, and it could be confusing if you're like 5 years old.
Right. Well, let me tell you, though, Chuck, if you're going to quote Freud, you've got to do that with a German accent, I'll have you know, all right?
Wonderful. Yes, I can do that, yes.
You can probably do that well. I know you roll your tongue.
Come over
well,
here and take a
that
shower.
That doesn't help you.
Yes.
But yeah. It gets more ridiculous still. I'm quoting my friend Widberg again. She writes that in the IQ-Fi piece, that's IQ as an intelligence quotient, which is ironic, but that's the name of this magazine, IQ-Fi piece, it contains several gems, quote, all intended to get natural-born men to pretend to be fake men with women's excretory functions. Some claim physical benefits. She's talking about what people have claimed. Quote, you tend to put more pressure on your bladder when sitting down to urinate, and this can be beneficial in urinating more. Others are just desperate, Widberg wrote. Quote, not taking an aggressive, phallus stance with, you know, that potty part held in your hand shows that you are secure in your masculinity. And then, quote, improved body image and a sense of calm. Then, quote, urinating standing is a sign of immaturity. Then sitting allows you to pet your dog while performing the nature call. These people actually wrote these things. No, these people do not occupy institutions. They're not in straitjackets. They're out there walking among us, believe it or not.
Here's something for you, Selwyn. That last paragraph, you know, that you just did, really gets you to wonder and maybe think positive to the fact that we no longer have the draft, you know, for the military. Can you imagine getting some of these people accidentally? Because if you're going to be drafted to fight a war, you don't say, well, how do you go to the restroom? Do you stand up? Do you sit down? What's your status on that? And you know what I'm saying? It's
I know.
There's a lot of weird people in this planet. And I'm going to, before you go any further, because I really trust your knowledge, okay, and admire it, which country do you think is more out of control on this whole thing? At one time, I think maybe it was Sweden, maybe. Were they the ones that really got into this first?
Yeah. Well, Sweden actually declared itself to be the world's first official feminist government, okay? So they really are off the rails with so-called feminism. And actually, though, that's why I remembered something from a couple of decades ago. This is not the first time we've seen this effort to get men and boys to perform the nature call in question sitting down. Believe it or not, this happened in 2000, the year 2000, in Sweden, Germany, and Australia, Chuck. Feminists there also took this aggressive stance position with respect to men's nature call. And I'm quoting here the late Professor Walter Williams. He reported this. These activists, quote, want men to sit down while urinating. And what's their main gripe? Quote, men standing up to urinate is deemed by these women as triumphing in their masculinity. Quote, a nasty macho gesture and by extension degrading to women. Okay, this was actually an effort by these feminists back then, okay? And now, of course, supposedly the whole thing is degrading to women pretending to be men. And it's just another example of how feminism, Chuck, has served as a precursor for this MUS, as I call it, made-up sexual status or transgender movement. But I think we're coming up on a break.
When I think about all these other countries, Selwyn, yeah, I know the break is coming up. And when I think about all these other countries, you know, where it started, originated, and all this, is we got to build a wall on our border, you know? There's something going on here, yeah, or too many visas coming over here. I don't know, but if there were too many visas, we would be reporting that right now, because Selwyn Duke reports just about everything from A to Z. That's right. Selwyn Duke, D-U-K-E, and his website, Selwyn Duke, S-E-L-W-Y-N, Duke.com. We shall return with the rest of the story in just a moment.
Have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-846-2153. 800-846-2153. 800-846-2153. That's 800-846-2153.
For the getaway of your dreams, come to Hawaii's Playground, Ka'anapali Beach Resort, on the fun side of Maui, where the world comes to play. Find your spot on Ka'anapali Beach with 3 miles of white sand, 12 resort properties, 2 golf courses, and 2 shopping centers. Enjoy the playground of Hawaii's ancient royalty. Ka'anapali Beach Resort is Hawaii's original master planned destination resort and home of the Hawaii Food and Wine Festival. With views of 2 neighboring islands, you can breathe in the land's natural beauty from your favorite resort or golf fairway. Come experience Ka'anapali's own special brand of Hawaiian hospitality with world-class dining, relaxing resorts, water sports, and activities of every kind. For romantic, family, and great friend getaways, discover the options of Ka'anapali Beach Resort, where the world comes to play. Plan your getaway today. Visit KaanapaliResort.com. That's K-A-A-N-A-P-A-L-I Resort.com.
Attention real estate investors. Do you need cash immediately? If you own one or multiple rental properties, you can use your equity to get cash out fast. The best part is we don't need tax returns or even a good credit score. At America's Loan Source, we are not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We make the decisions to loan you money and there's no limit how much we can give you. Some clients have gotten as much as $500,000 or more within days. Use the money any way you want. If you own one rental property or 100, and COVID has left you in a cash crunch, we can help you turn your equity into fast cash. Call now for details and close in as little as 10 days and get the cash you need. 800-353-1760. 800-353-1760. 800-353-1760. That's 800-353-1760.
Everybody's talking at me. CRN Chuck Wilder with Selwyn Duke, writer for the New American, SelwynDuke.com, talking about one of his latest, not just pronouns, now trans activists want to control your bathroom habits. Unbelievable. Hey, by the way, Selwyn, I'm going to get to your latest one about the video, Vanderbilt Medical Center, mutilating kids for money.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll get to that after we get through with this one here. Didn't have a chance to check your new one because of a lot of excuses. Okay, so where did I leave you off here?
Well, you left me in Sweden. We were in Sweden, and we were talking about how 20 years ago, actually more than 20 years ago already, feminists back then were trying to get men and boys to perform that nature call in question, the number one, while sitting down. So in other words, little 9-year-old Sven was being told, no, 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 you're an oppressor of women if you act naturally, little Sven. You have to sit down. Now, you might say, well, this is so crazy. I mean, this has got to be some fringe stuff, and this never actually could become policy in any way, right? Well, get this. Back then, feminists, Chuck, at Stockholm University were actually campaigning to ban campus urinals, and one Swedish elementary school had already removed them in deference to these crazy people. So don't think craziness cannot become policy. It happens all the time, all the time. So anyway, Chuck, you know, as I point out in my article, though, normal, average people don't subscribe to this nonsense. I quoted some in my article. I don't think I have to mention that here, unless any of these comments are particularly clever. Let's see. No, no. I think we can just maybe forego that. Anyway, well, here's one. See.
What was Catherine?
Yeah.
Was that a Catherine was a she, right? Or was she just identified as a she? And it was.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah, about that.
Well, you're making an assumption there, Chuck. You're making an assumption. But she said, Catherine, I think this is the only time I wish I was a guy so I could go there to the conference and use a urinal in defiance. And here's actually another clever statement. One commenter wrote, if only we could devise a system whereby urinals are only placed in restrooms used by people with similar urinary anatomy who widely accept the use of urinals. But that's obviously not practical, ..
Yeah. That's
so,
like
you know, it
ID,
gets weird.
Huh? Same principle as voter ID. Yeah. Oh, that's not practical. Yes, okay, go ahead.
It's not practical. No, no. Everyone in the world has it except us, but it's not practical. But anyway, it gets even stranger still, believe it or not. And again, this is not satire, okay? We were talking about that IQ-Fi magazine. Well, they also published another article by the same author titled, I'm not kidding, Encourage Women to Smell Their Poop to Be More Inclusive to Trans Women. Again, I'm not kidding. Now,
they shouldn't even, a quote like that shows you their ignorance, don't you think?
Oh, gosh, it shows a lot more than that. How twisted they are, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, Twistavaria. Yeah, wasn't that with Frankenstein? Twistavaria?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, they're turning everyone into a Frankenstein. That's what they want to do.
True,
anyway, you know, let me just mention that this ubiquitous use of the term poop, you see this in journalism, is very childish, and it's something I can't stand. But anyway, everyone's doing it. So this piece's subtitle actually states, Chuck, quote, some women, and what they really mean are men, have, oh gosh, I'll have to keep this clean. Okay, they have a hole where their, where their male part used to be, a hole where their male part used to be. And that hole often shares microbiome with the colon, creating a distinct transitioning odor. Talk about euphemizing, transitioning odor. So what they're really talking about is that fecal matter leaks into areas where it shouldn't, and then you can smell it. That's basically what they're saying. After you get yourself mutilated in this vain attempt to try to turn yourself into a woman, and of course, you're just becoming a simulacrum of a woman. But that's basically what's going on here. And my friend Widberg, she quoted one post-surgical fake woman who said, "As I was transitioning, I found it triggering that my cisgender female friends didn't smell like poo." That's what she wrote. So anyway, then this IQ Phi writes, because this is how weird they are sincerely asking all normal, quote, women to please spend more time smelling their poo during bathroom breaks and to critically examine what many of our gender have to endure as part of the cost of bottom surgery. It is time for us all to do the work to truly empathize with the sights, sounds, and smells endured by every member of our large and beautiful gender community.
Wow, I'll tell you. And when we come back, we're going to get to the very final line on that about musk mutilation. Very good. And then we'll move on. Selwyn Duke's going to continue in just a moment. His website, selwynduke.com, S-E-L-W-I-N-Duke.com.
Experiencing pain, back pain, shoulder, elbow, or hand pain, pain from a sports injury? If so, schedule a visit with Dr. Michael Sheps, the leading expert in laser therapy for pain management. Call 310-873-4422 or go to drsheps.com. Experience Epic T, the breakthrough laser therapy system that Dr. Sheps developed to make you pain-free in less time. Laser therapy is a non-invasive, safe, and effective in-office procedure that penetrates deep into your skin without damaging the tissue. It perfectly targets areas of pain to promote fast, natural healing. Relax your muscles, ease muscle spasms, joint stiffness, and arthritis pain while increasing blood circulation. For over 25 years, Dr. Sheps has helped Olympic athletes and sports enthusiasts alike get back in the game. Schedule your visit with Dr. Sheps at his Brentwood office in California. Call 310-873-4422 or visit drsheps.com. That's drsheps.com, 310-873-4422.
When you really want Italian food, you have got to get to Colombo's. Colombo's Italian Steakhouse and Jazz Club, Colorado Boulevard, Eagle Rock. It's that little neighborhood place you wish was down the street from you. Today, it seems so hard to enjoy just a little bit of easy. So much of life seems to get in the way. But fear not. Seekers of fabulous food and fun and thrill, Colombo's is Southern California's answer to Easy Street. Great grub with some of the finest steaks, the freshest fish awaiting for you to devour. Did I mention Colombo's family Italian recipes? Colombo's spaghetti bolognese, their chicken pesto ravioli, Magnifico, and of course, the world's greatest meatballs. I can go on. But why go on when you can go on over to Colombo's and experience delicious and easy for yourself. Colombo's, of course, that little neighborhood place you wish was down the street from you. Colombo's, mangia bene.
What are you so happy about?
I'm on the pill.
Aren't you two a bit old to worry about having more kids?
Not her, me.
You lost me there, buddy.
Steel Man pills. Things weren't always looking up, if you catch my drift. So, my doctor prescribed me a little something.
Like Viagra?
Yeah, but that's expensive, and it wasn't covered by my insurance. Steel Man pills cost me less than $3 a pill, and virtually the same effect. I just called and got over 40 pills for only $99.
I have this friend who might be looking and...
Well, if your friend wants some help, the consultation is free over the phone. No clinic. Steel Man pills sends it in the mail in a confidential package.
I'm on it. I mean, my friend will be on it.
Steel Man Pills. Going the extra mile to help men with erectile dysfunction.
800-605-1683. 800-605-1683.
800-605-1683. That's 800-605-1683.
Let's talk about your credit cards. When you first start using them, it's a slow drip. You make charges, then more charges, then bills come, and they keep coming. When you open your statements, the floodgates come pouring in. You realize you have more credit card debt than you can afford, and you're barely making the minimum payments. Wouldn't it be nice to make one affordable payment and have all your credit card bills covered? Make this free call and learn our responsible way to get your credit card bills paid and under control.
Sponsored by Consumer Education Services, a nonprofit organization.
800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. That's 800-876-3643.
CESI is not a loan company. The establishment of a debt management plan may adversely affect your credit rating. Non-payment of debt may lead creditors to increase finance and other charges to undertake collection activity, including liquidation.
Yes, sir. He is here sewing Duke. And we are talking about one of his latest here, not just pronouns now, trans activists want to control your bathroom habits. And we come to the final closing of this one here. Must mutilation is a hypocritic oath violation, right?
Yeah, it certainly is. There's no question about it, Chuck. I mean, I quoted this poor young man, Nathaniel, that's how he was identified. They didn't provide his last name for privacy reasons, who was conned into going down this road, and then he had one of these mutilation operations, and months later he described it as a Frankenstein hack job, and he said, I feel as if I have ruined my life. And the bottom line is doctors should not be doing this, it's malpractice, and I quote here, former psychiatrist-in-chief for Johns Hopkins Hospital, Dr. Paul McHugh, as he once put it, and I'm paraphrasing now, we should be trying to fix most individuals' minds, quote, not their genitalia. And that is the truth. We're dealing here with a severe psychological problem. It's not a biologically induced problem, therefore prescribing some biological or physical fix is incongruent, is bad medicine, it's the wrong prescription, absolutely, positively.
Well, I'll tell you what, talking about prescriptions and things like that, you know, where you would normally go to a hospital or something, you know, and go to their pharmacy, yeah. Here's Selwyn's latest damning video. Vanderbilt Medical Center is now mutilating kids for money. And this is the Vanderbilt University Medical Center, and that's in Nashville, Tennessee, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I believe it is, Chuck. So this is going on everywhere. This is a testimonial to that, huh?
Could it be more evil than mutilating kids for money? And Selwyn states, some may ask this question after seeing videos and other evidence indicating that Vanderbilt University Medical Center, that's VUMC, despite no doubt knowing that the body mutilation is known as the gender reassignment surgery, has no scientific basis, will happily perform it on youth anyway. And why? Well, is it money, money, money? Do you think that's the big deal there, Selwyn?
It's certainly a big part of it, Chuck, and this really is a very serious story. You know, during the previous story, and I almost hate talking so much about these things because I get the feeling people are going to conclude, oh, Selwyn, he's that weird sex guy. He's always writing about these strange sexual issues. But unfortunately, this is what we have to combat today. In the last article, we were being somewhat comedic because, after all, mockery is a very powerful tool. But at the end of the day, this is not funny. I quoted Nathaniel, who had described what was visited upon him as a Frankenstein hack job. And that's what's happening because of these quacks masquerading as legitimate doctors who are performing these operations on kids. Now, here we have this story, and we have to thank for this Matt Walsh and his team. He's a commentator and journalist. They did research, and they uncovered videos that are actually from 2018, but no one really focused on them before. Well, anyway, what's in these videos? Well, just to give you a summary, first, there's a VUMC professor in one video who actually said that doctors who conscientiously object to doing this to youths really should be punished. They should not be allowed to be conscientious objectors. Now, here's the thing. VUMC has tacitly indicted itself, tacitly admitted its own guilt. How? Because it has scrubbed or blocked this damning material. It's tried to eliminate it so people can't actually see it anymore. But like I said, these videos are from 2018, and Matt Walsh, the journalist, he posted them in a Twitter thread, and really they speak for themselves. So anyway, here he announces that this is a breaking story. They've uncovered this. Then he writes, Vanderbilt opened its trans clinic in 2018. During a lecture the same year, Dr. Shane Taylor explained how she convinced Nashville to get into the gender transition game. She emphasized that it's a, quote, big moneymaker, especially because the surgeries require a lot of follow-ups. Now, here's what she actually said. You can access the video via my article, but also it's hard to make out what she said, so I transcribed it. She said, some of our BMC financial folks in October of 2016 put down some costs of how much money we think each patient would bring in. And this is only including top surgery. This doesn't include any bottom surgery. And it's a lot of money. These surgeries make a lot of money. So female-to-male chest reconstruction can bring in $40,000, she said. A patient just on routine hormone treatment, who I'm only seeing a few times a year, can bring in several thousand dollars. A lot of business for labs. It actually makes a lot of money for the hospital. That's what she said. Now, remember, she's talking about doing this to youths, to minors, and we don't have the context of her remarks, to be fair, Chuck. I always try to be fair. She doesn't explicitly say we're facilitating this mass mutilation for money, no. But everything about this has a real mercenary ring to it. You know, and the bottom line is, Chuck, as I wrote in my article, yes, a lot of this must made-up sexual status agenda is driven by ideology. There's no question about it. You know, when we're trying to understand these things, we shouldn't fall into that all-too-human trap, Chuck, of trying to define them in a very simplistic way or one-dimensional way. People like that because they want easy ways of understanding the world, but human nature is complex. So, yes, some of this is driven by ideology, but a lot of it is also driven by money because, let's face it, you have all these must activists and other people. They're a very noisy fringe, and they can make their noise on Twitter and whatnot. But at the end of the day, if mainstream institutions, Chuck, establishment institutions, were not on board facilitating this, this agenda wouldn't be so big. And why are they on board facilitating it? Because they're making a lot of money off it. Yes, there are people within these institutions who no doubt believe in this nonsense, but you have to figure most of them don't, because this doesn't play well on Main Street. The fact is they're making money, and then other people go with the flow because they don't want to walk up the down staircase. They don't want to be persecuted, be canceled for a coming out against this woke nonsense. So anyway, that's what this woman said. Now let's move on, okay? We have another tweet here from Matt Walsh, and he writes, Vanderbilt was apparently concerned that not all of its staff would be on board. Dr. Ellen Clayton warned that conscientious objections are problematic. Anyone who decides not to be involved in transition surgeries due to, quote, religious beliefs will face, quote, consequences. Okay, that's what this woman said. Now, I've got that video in my article as well. All right, and then let's move on further. Matt Walsh writes, Vanderbilt makes their trans buddies available to children, too. They actually have, I guess, this trans buddies program. I mean, does that sound creepy or what? And they make lots of services available to children, including chemical castration. Though at some point in the last month, they removed explicit admission of this fact from their site. Here's the archived screenshot, and he provides it again. It's in my article. We're not on television, so we can't show you that. But anyway, then he writes, but they must have forgotten to delete a video from Vanderbilt Psychiatry's YouTube channel back in 2020. Which admits explicitly that they will give and have given irreversible hormone drugs to children as young as 13. And actually, I think they say 14, but the point is it's disgusting either way. And, you know, it's interesting, Chuck. We're talking about cross-sex hormones. We're talking about puberty blockers, which do halt puberty. That's what they do. And this is used off-label, these puberty blockers. They're used off-label on kids. In other words, this is not an official use of this treatment. And I point out in my article, isn't it interesting? When we wanted to use ivermectin off-label to treat COVID, okay, and it was effective for treating COVID, we were told you couldn't do that. We were told it's a horse medicine. It's a dewormer. But now they're using these puberty blockers off-label, and they will claim, well, it's harmless. It just gives the kids a little more time to make up their minds. But that's not true. That's an absolute lie. The reality is that when you administer these puberty blockers to kids, Chuck, they will never achieve total and complete adult sexual maturity. And here I'm quoting the post-millennial. They actually quoted someone who is one of these activists admitting this. They said, quote, at a recent talk at Duke University on trans and gender diverse policies, they wrote this in May, care, practices, and well-being, surgeon and trans-affirming, quote-unquote, Dr. Marcy Bowers, who transitioned at the age of 38, admitted that children who undergo transition before puberty will never have adult sexual function. This person said, quote, an observation that I had, every single child who was, or adolescent, who was truly blocked at the beginning of puberty, quote, when hormones begin their work of advancing a child to adulthood, has never experienced complete adult sexual development. This person said, I mean, it's really about zero. Okay, I mean, this is what they're visiting on kids, largely because they want to make money. Okay, now, here's something I pointed out, though, Chuck. No one else picked up on this as far as I know. There's another denial of science here in one of the videos. Now, in one of these VUMC, Vanderbilt videos, the expert they have speaking says, Chuck, that the standards previously prescribed cross-sex hormones use at age 16, right? But this so-called expert said, this doesn't make sense. Why? Because we know puberty doesn't start at age 16, but earlier. Okay, so now Vanderbilt will provide these hormones at 14. But wait a second, I said. Hold on. Puberty doesn't generally begin at 14 either. No, not at all. In fact, according to WebMD, Chuck, the average age at which boys enter puberty now is what? Is 10. I know that's very early. It's occurring earlier and earlier. And yes, that's another can of worms, another thing to talk about why that's happening. At age 10 for boys, and with girls, it's occurring even earlier. So if Vanderbilt's goal, Chuck, is eliminating unwanted pubertal changes, then why don't they recommend puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones for preteens? Why don't they do that? Well, I think we know why, because they understand that social proscriptions make such a prescription untenable. They couldn't get away with it, at least for now. But the point is, what they're prescribing has nothing at all to do with science. This is not science at all. Okay. Now, stop me, Chuck, if I'm going on too long.
No,
yeah, go ahead.
And I just wanted to remind the listener, you know, that there's all of these videos. So if you want to see the whole thing, damning video, Vanderbilt Medical Center is mutilating kids for money. Go to SelwynDuke.com, you know, mostly videos in this report. Very, very disturbing. Did you want to get into the other one you did as gender ideology? Has gender ideology revealed media and their so-called experts as fools? Do you think we have time to stop on that one or step on it a little bit here?
Yeah. You know, it's up to you, Chuck. We can move on because I think we covered the last one. So you're right. Why beat a dead horse, right?
Yeah. Well, we'll beat
it a little bit
more
here. Why beat a dead horse no matter how he identifies? You know what I mean? Whether he identifies as a mare or whether he even identifies as a horse. But anyway, yeah, I mean, the truth is, I was quoting this commentator from Washington Examiner. His name is Zachary Faria, and he was saying basically that gender ideology, as they call it, has exposed the media and their so-called experts as fools. And, you know, what he's talking about is this. Well, we have this Maggie Mertens here, who is this left-winger who wrote at The Atlantic, and she was saying, though sex differences in sports show advantages for men, Researchers today still don't know how much of this to attribute to biological difference versus the lack of support provided to women athletes to reach their highest potential, unquote. And she later adds that maintaining, quote, this sexual binary in youth sports reinforces the idea that boys are inherently bigger, faster, and stronger than girls in a competitive setting, a notion that has been challenged by scientists for years. She wrote this. So as I said, well, challenged by scientists? What's she talking about? Social scientists? Maybe. Because, and by the way, the only two experts this Merton cites in her article, there are only two of them, and one of them is a Canadian sociology professor. But anyway, here's the thing. Lately, Chuck, we haven't heard this tune all that much. We've heard a lot of MUS activists talking about how these men who masquerade as women should be allowed to participate in women's sports. Then we've seen some feminists pushing back and saying, no, that shouldn't be allowed. Well, here's the thing. This Faria points out, the good journalist at Washington Examiner, that any researchers confused about the biological advantages males enjoy in sports are in the wrong business. And then he writes, and he's echoing things that I've said over the years, that it's not a lack of resources that explain the sexual performance gap, intersex performance gap. I mean, the average NBA player is 6'6". The average WNBA player is only 6 feet tall. The record for dunks in one NBA game is 23, which is almost the same amount that the WNBA has seen in its entire 26-year history, Faria writes. And I know we're coming up on a break, but, you know, you can go through this sport by sport, and you'll see the same thing. I've pointed out, Chuck, that in the 800-meter run, the record for 14-year-old boys is better than the women's world record. We've talked about how our women's national soccer team, which won the world title years ago, lost to a team of 14-year-old boys in a scrimmage, and I believe it was 2017, 5-2, which is a big, big score in soccer. So you could go on and on and on. I mean, and people like this Mertens would want us to believe that this all just has to do with conditioning and maybe female athletes not getting the same amount of support. But I think we should get into this after the break. I point out that actually we've heard this tune before. What Mertens is mentioning here actually is nothing new, but it's something very, very old.
Yeah. All right. Selwyn Duke, writer for the New American, SelwynDuke.com. We'll continue in just a moment.
What are you so happy about?
I'm on the pill.
Aren't you two a bit old to worry about having more kids?
Not her, me.
You lost me there, buddy.
Steel Man Pills. Things weren't always looking up, if you catch my drift. So, my doctor prescribed me a little something.
Like Viagra?
Yeah, but that's expensive, and it wasn't covered by my insurance. Steel Man Pills cost me less than $3 a pill, and virtually the same effect. I just called and got over 40 pills for only $99.
I have this friend who might be looking and...
Well, if your friend wants some help, the consultation is free over the phone. No clinic. Steel Man Pills sends it in the mail in a confidential package.
I'm on it. I mean, my friend will be on it.
Steel Man Pills. Going the extra mile to help men with erectile dysfunction.
800-605-1683. 800-605-1683. 800-605-1683. That's 800-605-1683.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe. All great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
The smartest way for you to get the lowest prices on your plane tickets, domestic or international, is to call SmartFares, first or last, but you've got to call us before you book your plane tickets. Fly anywhere in the world, fly anywhere in the U.S., and SmartFares can save you up to 75% on your plane tickets. We have the lowest airline ticket prices on over 500 airlines, and you've got a great 12-hour free cancellation window. Plus, with our live agent help, you can always get fast help and fast answers. So on your next trip, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, how about right now? Pick up your phone and call SmartFares. Plus, save up to 75% on your plane reservation. So call right now. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644.
Everybody's talking at me. Chuck Wilder, CRN, with my guest Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American, discussing now, has gender ideology revealed media and their so-called experts as fools, you know? And it's interesting stuff here, you know, and if you have time, I want you to get into this Title IX, and I don't know how long that's been around, but that's kind of messing up a lot of things, right, Selwyn?
It certainly is, Chuck. And I should have said at the outset, I had a bit of a brain cramp, that this Maggie Mertens, the Atlantic writer, her thesis is that we should eliminate sex segregation in high school sports. That's not necessary. That's why we're addressing this. But as I point out in my article, Faraya, the other journalist, didn't point this out. I don't know. Maybe he's very young. But this Maggie Mertens didn't come up with this on her own. In fact, if you go back to beyond 15 years ago, this was standard feminist fare. This was their line. I remember, Chuck, when Billie Jean King, whose claim to fame, main claim to fame, I guess, is that she beat out-of-shape 55-year-old Bobby Riggs in the 1973 Battle of the Sexes when she was 29. Well, she once lamented that athletics was the only area in which males and females didn't compete, okay? And then there were exercise physiologists who predicted that in the 90s, two of them, women would overtake men in track and field. And they did this based on what they said was an analysis of the sexes' world records progression. Well, what actually happened in the 90s? What actually happened was that the gap between the sexes in track and field widened. It actually widened, okay? So this was what the feminists used to say all the time. Now, why did it change? It changed for a very simple reason. This was convenient for the feminists to espouse back when they wanted to break down traditional barriers because they were trying to portray the sexes as equal in every worldly measure. So they espoused this. But then something happened. Then the must-men came along, started entering women's sports and taking titles and trophies away from girls and women, and the feminists realized, wait a second, this point of view, this lie doesn't benefit us anymore. So then what happened? All of a sudden, you started seeing all sorts of people come on television and write articles and papers, mm-hmm. and feminists did this themselves, talking about all these advantages males have in sports. I mean, a greater degree of oxygen uptake in their bloodstream, and men are stronger, and they're bigger, and they're faster, and all these things, the things where if you had said them decades ago, you would have been canceled by the feminists. Now when you say them, the feminists cheer you on simply because their own ox is being gored, because the ideas that they espouse now are being used by others and are rearing up and are biting them in the backside. That's why they're taking this line now. And, you know, you mentioned Selwyn, Title IX. I'll make it fast.
I don't want to say anything bad about the female sex, but isn't there no saying monkey see, monkey do?
Absolutely, absolutely,
and
Of course,
the monkey usually don't do because he, you know, just didn't have the, you know. Anyway, it's a lot of ways to look at this, and you can say very well, you say in your article, it's unfair that these partially demasculized must-men are taking away our sporting opportunities while also claiming We women can equal you men in sports, you'll see. We ought to challenge them in horseshoes. Yeah, there's one right there for you. Hey, Selwyn, I'm glad you're back and glad you're here, and look forward to our next visit, sir.
Same here, Chuck. God bless.
God bless you. All right. Hey, thank you very much, Jeremy, and thank you for listening. And please remember, absolutely no animals were injured during the production of this here program.